have a quorum here. So I would like to call this study session of the City Council of University City to order at 5:31. First item, does any member of council have any changes he or she will be suggesting to our agenda this evening? Hearing none, we will now move on. Mr. Walker.
Thank you, Madam Mayor and members of council. This evening, we're going to have the review of the facility analysis report. I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Mike Shea. Mr. Shea.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Can everybody hear me? Okay, we appreciate being here tonight. I'd like to introduce myself. I'm Mike Shea with Ross and Berezini, and I have here with me Keith Petker from Petker Construction and Brandon Broom from Petker Construction as well. Okay, Brandon, next slide, please. So, as you know, we were contracted by the city to review the recently completed police analysis report prepared by Chiodini Associates dated March 14th. And I got to tell you, it was a challenging assignment because there's always a desire to maintain, you know, our architectural significant buildings, but also there's a desire to build a state-of-the-art public safety facility to serve the citizens of University City for years to come, and thus the challenge in why you brought us this assignment. So what our analysis has done over the last month and a half was consider two options, keeping and renovating your existing annex and old Trinity Library and constructing an addition to those buildings. And then developing a new facility on a remote site. And FYI, we were not given the remote site, but we were given the parameters for that site. And just in summary, our efforts focused on the assumptions made in the report and also the cost estimates that were previously developed. So we understand we have about 50 minutes, so we're going to take a little over half the time to present and then, course, open the floor for questions for our team. Okay. And our team consisted of Ross and Berezini, who, of course, I work for. I was the project manager. We also have a police operations consultant on our team, architect, mechanical engineer, and electrical engineer who participated and did the building assessment. Frontneck Engineering did the structural assessment of the annex, and Petker Construction, of course, did the cost estimating. So that was our team. In terms of the process, you know, we met initially to review the project schedule and coordinate tasks. We then obtained documents that were available, and I got to tell you, there's very little documentation available on both the annex and the Trinity Library. Basically, just old floor plans that kind of look like this. No original construction drawings, no mechanical, electrical drawings, really no documentation on either building. We reviewed the documents that were available, and then we had a team go over to the building to observe the existing conditions and analyze the existing utility infrastructure within the annex. Our operation and space needs analysis was conducted by Ted Dempsey, who's a former, actually retired police officer of 30 years, and he does operations studies. He reviewed and analyzed the operational aspects of the report that was done by Chiodini and actually space needs to confirm that the space needs were in line with your needs. And then we did a cost analysis, and that was led by Petker, as I had said, who reviewed the cost estimates included in the report and then did an independent cost estimate on both options, renovating the annex and library and then a new greenfield facility. And then here we are. We finished the report a couple weeks ago. I think most of you here have probably seen that, and that's what we're presenting. We also met with several aldermen, communicated with the former city mayor, contacted the International Code Council to get interpretations on the codes, and contacted SHPO, the State Historic Preservation Office, just to make sure that the buildings, to confirm which buildings were on the historic register and which weren't. So I'll fill you in on that a little bit later. So as part of the building assessment, we did confirm the square footages that were included in the March 14th report, and we found that they were very accurate within, a percentage, just point different ways of calculating square footages on existing manual drawings. So we did confirm that the spaces that were included in summary in the March 14th report were accurate, and they're depicted here. So you've actually got an annex building at about 33,299 square feet, a connector at 5,300, and the gross square footage for the old Trinity Library, two floors, is 9,900, for a gross square footage of approximately 48,600 square feet. We did find that the allocations indicated in the report that documented the existing conditions, if you remember, they look like this, were accurate, indicating the existing spaces. We did find that, as indicated in the report, the building use and efficiency of the existing building are constrained by the existing structural elements and configuration. There's the base spacings are rather small compared to existing buildings. There's bearing walls that bisect some of the floors that prohibit, I think, some design possibilities that, whereas if they didn't have that, it obviously would be better. We found that the systems are in poor physical condition. All the mechanical air conditioning systems, plumbing systems, electrical systems, the utility infrastructure that really supports your operation, those systems have pretty much exceeded their useful life. And we concluded that a total site and building renovation would be required to utilize the annex and Trinity Library for the proposed police station use. I don't think that was any surprise to anybody. In terms of the operations and space needs, we reviewed the space needs assessment that identified 37,770 square feet in the report. That's basically a space program that summarizes the spaces that you need in a modern police and courts facility. We felt that those spaces were adequate and typical for a police station, so we felt like the spaces identified were suitable for your needs. And the adjacencies that were identified on the diagrams that were included in the report also seemed correct. So from an operational point of view. We did have a couple comments that you saw in the report, recommending and creating a technology plan for your IT and communications, and perhaps that wasn't included in the original scope of the report, but certainly in today's world, a technology plan would be appropriate. And it may add a little bit of square footage for technology rooms and some of the other infrastructure that's associated to support those systems. We were asked to review the requirement to co-locate the courts police in the same location as the police facility. We felt that although co-location may be cost-effective in terms of construction, there really is no operational requirement to do so because, courts are conducted three times per month. We're not really transporting prisoners from facility to facility. So it's not essential to have those functions co-located, although you could, okay? And from a construction point of view, if we're building a new facility, it would make sense to construct them at the same time, but not necessarily do they have to be in the same facility. In terms of the cost assessment, just wanted to assure everyone the cost assessment that Petker did was independent cost estimate. They actually contacted subcontractors for cost on both the new building and the renovation. Some subcontractors in the area that they've worked with to develop some of the cost. And again, there were two estimates developed, one for keeping and renovating the existing annex and Trinity Library and building an addition to connect those two buildings, and then the new facility on the remote site. Okay. So in summary, I apologize for the eye chart, but what we've determined Director did, and help me out here if I miss anything, but we did a side-by-side comparison of the cost from the report that was done on March 14th, and then we located and put our costs next to those for comparison. And yeah, the cost for the what I'll call the annex is the environmental abatement, so we have quite a bit of hazardous materials in the building that have to be removed. We've got quite a bit of site work, and the environmental work was actually pretty close, I think, in estimating the site work. We actually felt like it's going to take more than what was in the March 14th report, and part of the reasons are it's a very tight site. We also have to retain stormwater now, and we would have to do it underground on the site, which is expensive, and then filter that water. So our site work number is more. Then we have the annex building and the basement and third floor renovation, and then the new building addition. And the estimate in the March 14th report was $11,168,000. Our estimate for the base building was $15,292,000. So actually more than the March 14th report. And then you have to add that onto that the library renovation. That adds another $3 million onto the cost. And then we get a combined total of the current estimate at $19.1 million versus $14.4 million. And I'd like to add that once you add all that up with the contingencies and some allowances for what we call soft cost, you know, your cost, your FF&E, and your equipment, et cetera, brings the grand totals up to almost $20 million. For the March 14th report, almost $20 million, and $26.5 million for the Petco estimate. And that does not include upgrading the building to meet seismic forces, which would be actually another $2.7 million according to our estimate.
So just to kind of clarify a little bit of this stuff, by the way, I'm Keith Putker, Putker Construction. I'm Vice President of Pre-Construction. Last year my firm did about $1 billion worth of construction estimating. So I've got a team of six estimators that report to me, three project engineers, and then two estimating administrators, as well as marketing staff. But anyways, the site work, you know, the big difference there from the Chiodini report was probably the underground detention requirements. And then, Brandon, we had another difference in the building addition, right, square footage that we caught. So, and then probably the big unknown on this is going to be the structural upgrade. And one thing that that is an unknown. We don't have any structural drawings. We're taking a lot of guesses on what we're going to need to do to bring this this facility up code compliancy wise. One thing that we've not done, and I thought it would have been pretty interesting to do, is do an energy model comparison to determine what the operational use side by side would be for the city. I'm fairly confident that the that a new facility would be much more efficient from an energy utility perspective, but that has not been done today at all. So just kind of keep that in mind.
And I might add that the we did take out the costs for the building facade renovation. As I think everyone is aware, that is under construction already, with the exterior masonry and window replacement is underway. So we did not include those numbers in the numbers above. We took those out. Okay.
It, Although you took the numbers out for the tuck pointing and whatever, did you also take out the numbers for what it would cost to deconstruct the exterior and then reconstruct it?
Those numbers are not in the above numbers.
Thank you.
That's correct.
That's part of that alternate down below. That's part of that alternate down below, correct?
That's correct. And it was our opinion that the exterior skin would not be required to be removed and replaced, as I think that was one of your questions when we met, right?
Okay. Excuse me.
Mr. Crow?
Only because I'm not quite – you guys sort of blew past the $23,000 versus the $6,200. And what is the difference between those two numbers? What do they represent? I mean, that's just a huge
– I'm gonna cover that on a – another
okay.
slide, so
fine.
If you don't mind. Okay. I will definitely come to that. So next, we also did estimates on the freestanding building on a greenfield site. And in summary, you can see the March 14th Keating report had a $12.4 million budget. We felt that that could be perhaps low, and estimate is $17.3 million for a new facility on a greenfield site.
You know, just looking at past comparisons, and we did, like I said, we did take that out for both your courtroom costs, your jail equipment, all that kind of stuff. So one thing that we are looking at, and just kind of keep in mind, we're anticipating in the price per ton of steel to go up between 15% and 20% in after the first of the year. So we are kind of counting a little bit for that kind of stuff. So,
and correct me if I'm wrong, quite a bit more construction in the region is projected in the next few years than in the past, which drives costs up. So I think those were considered in here as well. Okay, a couple things to note. So, I think both the cost estimator utilized in the March 14th report and the current cost estimator, Petker, included that would be substantially more to utilize the existing current facilities and add an addition than to construct a new facility on a remote site. Couple notes to that, though. Excluding the court's functions would reduce the square footage cost in both scenarios. So if we reduce the square footage, we reduce some of the cost. And then reducing the square footage of the building addition, which is what you had asked, Alderman, would reduce the square footage and cost as well at the annex building. So I'll show you that on the diagram. Don't let me forget that. Moving on, then, in terms of the cost estimate, I know a lot of folks ask, why is it more expensive to renovate this existing building than build a new one off-site? We are working within an existing historic building. There are costs associated with that. We have hazardous materials that we have to abate and remove from the site. We have demolition. The whole interior of the building is basically going to be demolished down to the structure. We have a roof that we would have to tear off and replace. All the MEP utility infrastructure that exists has to get removed and replaced. The structural upgrades, even if we don't upgrade the facility to meet essential use, there's structural work within this building that has to be required because the floors don't line up between the Trinity Library and the new building. Where the bays are right now are, 3 to 4 feet lower than the main floor, so we would want to have everything on one main level. So there's floor alignment issues is what I'm saying there. We do have significant storm water that we're going to have to deal with because we're going to be at least doubling the amount of hard surfaces on site because of the increase in parking that we need. We found that the parking spaces are really inadequate for a new facility, especially considering shift changes and courts. So we're adding a lot more hard surface, which makes you have a lot more storm water that you have to control. And the only way to do that on this site is to build underground storage tanks to store that water. And there's a new requirement that MSD has that says you have to filter that water before you put it into the system. So that's an expense, I think, that Keith had talked about. And, you know, we've got a lot of site work to do on a relatively tight site when you look around this building. And then, you know, typically for renovation work, there's contingencies that are added for unknown conditions. When you open these buildings up, sometimes you just don't know what you're going to find, you know. So hopefully that gives you some indications.
Mike?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so if you're talking about evening out the floors, then why couldn't you use the basement? Because it doesn't seem to me like you made any allowance for maximization of the space.
That is a possibility. We figured keeping that slab and adding on top of it with a raised floor, which would be the most cost-effective way to do that. If we structurally raised it, it would cost a little more. But we did figure on keeping that slab there and adding on to it. There is the possibility of doing that. But there's a lot of other stuff going on in that basement, Alderman, that with the column spacings and the bearing walls, it really just, as far as we're concerned, make it relatively not very usable for the types
okay,
of spaces
so
that you need.
I'm hearing you, but what I'm saying is that then to add more square feet to make up for what you are not using in the basement, which you haven't maximized, mm-hmm. and of course, as you probably, I believe you were given the Powers study from 1980, where they did address that. So you might save a little bit of money just putting a slab on top of the slab, mm-hmm. but you're now adding more money by having to produce more square feet mm-hmm. in the addition. Is that correct?
Well, that is correct. But, you know, without natural light and with the small base spacings that are in the basement and the bearing walls that bisect it, it's not a very usable space. And it wouldn't result in a functional building that I think that you could fully appreciate if you built a new building.
Okay. All right. And then I have another question regarding the parking. If we were not to include the courts, and it seems now like your recommendation would be to remove them, and I think that's probably wise for a lot of reasons. So if we were not to include the courts, not only would we reduce the square footage, but we would reduce the necessity for parking spaces. Is that correct?
Well, it is a nighttime use, so but yes, you could reduce the quantity of parking. The exact number I couldn't tell you off the top of my head.
Okay, and so by not putting the courts in, you also reduce the square footage that you would need
for the drainage, but you would still need underground stormwater.
Of course,
your parking is still not adequate for a police facility because of the shift changes and the amount of parking that you need. And you can see that here right now. I mean, people are parking everywhere. It's a tough place to park right now, and parking is not sufficient. And we'd have to add significant parking still.
But parking's not sufficient in University City all over.
Well,
I can tell you that.
True. I cannot disagree with that. So,
Mr. O'Shea,
did you do any other environmental studies? I've been told that there's actually part of the river to pair under the building. Did you do any of that research?
In our scope of work did not include additional environmental assessments. We relied on the report in the March 14th.
Yeah, I've always been told that a branch of the River de Pere is under there, which is part of the reasons we have such problems with flooding in big rain events. Go ahead.
I don't know. I mean, that very well could be. We didn't do any geotechnical. That would require a geotechnical report where you do soil borings down into the ground, most
Understood.
Likely to detect that, which wasn't in our scope. And the environmental assessment of the hazardous materials was not in our scope either. Because there was a quite extensive hazardous material report
right.
in the March 14th report.
Understood. Mr. Jennings?
Thank you for your report. Earlier someone mentioned, one of my council member colleagues mentioned a reduction in square footage, but doesn't that mean we also lose functionality in reducing?
Well, in my opinion, when you try to renovate an existing building mm-hmm. and this building was originally designed as a printing facility. when you try to upgrade that to current standards for a police facility, you lose functionality because of the constraints of the existing building, the base spacings, the configuration, right. the bearing walls that run through it. And it's not as efficient as a new facility. So,
so even when you try to reduce the footprint,
we would
you
never
even
get
lose
the square footage down to
38,000
square feet in this building. It's going to take more square footage in an existing building than it is in a brand new building.
Okay. On the basement, it's been my experience, you tell me if I'm wrong, but in abating water in basements, it generally is only a temporary fix, correct? It may last 10 years, 20 years, but...
Well, we didn't, as I said, we didn't get a geotechnical report to know where the moisture's coming in. We did see signs of moisture entering the building in mm-hmm. numerous locations. Some of that was being repaired as we did our field work.
But with the insidious nature of water, it's
very hard
to stop.
Well, if it's done properly, I think if you put a drainage system in and a pumping system in to mitigate that, it could correct that.
Well, it doesn't stop the water. You just remove it.
It doesn't
it,
stop
just pumping
the water.
What
we would do is remove the water that's coming in with a sub-drainage system and pump system.
But is it safe to assume in a building like this, water abatement is generally temporary?
I don't know that I would totally agree with that if it's done properly.
Okay. My last question.
It would involve a maintenance program, on the pumps mm-hmm. and everything else. So in terms of life cycle.
And that adds even more money to the project.
From a maintenance perspective.
Okay. All right. I wanted to ask about the contingencies. I know you had a long list of contingencies, but I guess what would be the worst case example of the contingencies we could expect to run into in an old building like this?
Well, first of all, contingencies are normally added at early stages of project development like this, and as the more information is known about the building, the contingencies go down as you go towards bid day or signing a contract. But we don't know what the existing structure is. We know it's cast concrete, but we don't know what the rebar spacings are or what's within much of the structural walls. We don't know what the foundations are made of. We could run into more hazardous materials than anticipated.
Could it even be that in doing a renovation on this building, you could disturb the foundation and create cracks, more problems?
That's possible. I mean, when you're dealing with existing construction in a building of this age, there are unknowns that you can run into, which is why.
And our unknowns are greater because we don't have those drawings that we needed.
Yeah, if we had existing construction drawings that showed the actual structure and the rebar and the reinforcement, I think obviously we would have better information and have less unknowns. But at this point, you have to make some assumptions, and that's why we have the contingencies in there that we do.
So we're literally working blind.
Well, I mean, the structure actually looks like it's in pretty good shape. I can't say we found crumbling slabs and, holes in the walls in the floors. The exterior skin was pretty much shot because of the water infiltration. And we did figure tearing the interior furring out in the whole building, re-insulating and putting a new vapor barrier in so that you could fulfill current energy requirements. But the actual structure seemed to be in pretty good shape. Okay. So I'd like to finish with a couple more conclusions, if I may, and I think this hopefully will address, Alderman, your question that you have. So in the March 14th report, the first thing they identified were best practices for police facilities, and we certainly agree with those, including first and foremost safety and security best practices, facility operational best practices, and of course economics. So we certainly agree with those. We agreed that the interior components and utility infrastructure within the annex and Old Trinity Library have exceeded their useful life, and I think everyone I think understands that we would pretty much have to gut the building and bring it up to current standards in terms to meet accreditations, codes, accessibility in particular as well, and energy standards. So the annex building and Trinity Library would require substantial renovations and upgrades to provide a modern, operational, functional, efficient, and secure facility to serve University City. We pretty much concluded that. We did conclude, as the March 14th report concluded, that the annex building third floor and basement levels are not practical for proposed use. The third floor is long and skinny, and it's broken up in the middle by about a third of it by the circulation core, the elevator and the stair. So it's bisected by the elevator, and the spaces are really not quite suitable. And the basement has, you know, the low head height, the lack of natural light, we felt make it not conducive for a modern police station facility. So
I'm not quite understanding. If we're doing a gut renovation, we're not necessarily worried about the circulation core because it could be relocated someplace else. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And so, again, I understand your use of your feelings about lighting and et cetera, but I venture to say that half of America has basements with minimal lighting and
well,
they
certainly,
use their basements.
But if you have a chance to provide a state-of-the-art modern facility with natural light and functions that are conducive to a fully operational and efficient facility, that basement certainly isn't conducive to that type of space, in our opinion.
Even if you raise the ceilings back to the height that they should have been.
Well, if you look at the floor plan of those buildings, there's structural bearing walls that dissect it, first of all, and the column spacings are very tightly put together, which makes it very difficult to design functional spaces.
And is
it can't be done, it's just a challenge, and it just gets very expensive.
Is that limited to the basement only?
The basement is the worst.
But those same structural elements extend throughout the next two floors.
Which is the challenge for the upper floors as well. That is, you are correct.
Okay, so it's not that the basement is. I mean, if we're planning on using the first and second floors, it seems to me that either the basement could be used by the same extension, or all three floors would be a problem.
Well, the upper floors have natural light, and they have a little bit less of the structural elements that are carried through, because as structures go down through the building, usually the foundations are at the lower level, and they get a little lighter as they go up. So there is opportunities on the upper floor, I think, to create much better spaces. Of course, there's natural light around the whole perimeter of the building as well. So in our opinion, the basement, it would be very challenging to utilize it and get the type of function that you really would expect to realize in a modern police facility.
And I guess the last question, because I did read the Powers Bowersox report, why did they feel that it could be done? And it's a matter of, say, 20 or 30 years difference, and you do not feel that it could be used.
Well, codes have certainly changed since that report has been done, especially for essential buildings. I don't know that back when that report was done that the essential building was even a portion of the code. I think that would probably be probably one of the main factors. And, you know, there's obviously two differences of opinion, but okay. In our opinion, you know.
Thank you.
Okay. The issue of an essential facility, I think, is something that's really important. And in this case, you know, a police station is an essential facility. And we have the definition of it here per code. Or buildings and other structures that are intended to remain operational in the event of extreme environmental loading from floods, winds, snow, or earthquakes. I mean, your police facility should be your fortress. It needs to maintain operation 24/7 during often very extreme conditions, and the last thing you want to do is lose the structural integrity or the operational integrity of your systems or your police facility. You also have your operations facility here and your dispatch facility, which are your prime communications for the facility. So in our opinion, even though it may not be required to upgrade the facility By code, which I'll get to in a minute, it's our recommendation that you do. So we followed up on that question in terms of whether the building code-wise has to be upgraded to meet current codes for essential facilities. And I contacted the International Code Council and was informed that if we were just using the annex facility itself and upgrading the building to current standards, since we are not changing the use of the facility, his interpretation was that we wouldn't have to upgrade the building to meet current codes. That was an International Code Council interpretation. And I included the correspondence on that in the report. An essential building is deemed as a desired feature to the building, in our opinion, whether it's renovated or a new facility, because, as I just said, you know, it should be your fortress and should be able to withstand and stay in operation under extreme conditions. Now, we since also, Mr. Ohlendorf asked that we look at the existing international building code, and we did. And there is a stipulation in the existing international building code that states if you affect more than 30% of the building structure, that you are obligated to upgrade that facility in terms of what's called a level 3 upgrade, which means you have to brace your parapets and your masonry at the top of the facade. So that was the clarification that we got for the existing building code for him. However, on the next slide, we also contacted your code official at the city of University City, and I explained to him what we were doing, and his summary was he would require that we upgrade the facility to current standards, even for seismic, under any condition. So, in summary, about that. On-site parking, I think we talked about it, is currently inadequate. It's really difficult because of this site to get secure buffers and secure parking. You know, for police facilities, it's always desired to separate your secure parking from your unsecure parking and get a setback from the street so that, you know, your building is not right on the street, and it's difficult to achieve on this site. We did find that the 37,777 gross square feet is appropriate for your police facility, but you'll notice there's a few comments in the operation and space needs assessment that may add a little bit of square footage, but I think not a whole lot. And so I think the space needs are also referred to as a space program that was included, we feel is a pretty good listing of what you need for a modern-day facility. We did confirm that the existing usable space in the annex is not sufficient to house the determined space program, and that you would need additional space. So, Brandon, if you could go to the next slide. That the 37,000 and change projected building area, it just won't fit on the two usable floors. And if you go to the next slide, you'll see these are just slides that were taken from the March 14th report. You have the existing City Hall that we're in here, and then the annex here, and the Trinity Library, and the space that was figured was for adding the connector here. And that's where we somehow, I think, found perhaps a discrepancy in the. Square feet. These two footprints right here represent about 53,000 square feet. It wasn't surprising to us that it was substantially more to renovate the existing building and have more square footage just because of the constraints between the, because of the physical structural constraints. And hopefully that answers your question. So to 40% increase in space utilization required to renovate the existing buildings and construct the addition, I think this appears a bit high and could potentially be reduced, but wasn't in the scope of our report to do so. Just wanted to confirm with everybody that the annex building is definitely an historic, on the National Register of Historic Places. It's called the City Hall Plaza Historic District. And then although the Trinity Library resembles the City Hall, it is not considered an historic building, just to, for everybody's knowledge. Again, the independent cost estimates revealed that it would be more economical to build a new building on a remote site and renovate the existing buildings. This is just a summary of what we spoke about before. Both the previous cost estimator and the current cost estimator agree that it would be substantially more to renovate the existing building than build a new building.
Hey, Mike.
Yes, sir.
What, I guess maybe Keith can answer this, the difference of that 17,000 versus QOD's 12,000, what was it that you found?
Million.
Cost a little bit more. Current report 17, March 14, 12.
Well, we didn't, first of all, we didn't have the backup from that report. Construction costs have gone up substantially in this region since then. When that estimate was done, there wasn't a whole lot of work in this area. I know that is one particular reason. But
yeah, I can, you know, I can comment on that a little bit. I kind of alluded earlier, you know, we are forecasting this a little bit. We're anticipating, you know, the raw steel prices to go up between 15 and 20% per ton. You know, that, you know, we're still coming out of this great recession from a raw material perspective, and so these prices are still starting to gradually go up. And so what we're being told is to anticipate fairly significant price increase between January and April of next year. So, you know, knowing that, we do try and forecast that a little bit. At the same time, you know, the market is extremely busy all the way down, all the way to the third tier vendors, you know, and contractors. Everybody's extremely busy right now, and so you've got that does play into a factor of bidding, you know, and so we've got to be cognizant of that and not be and make sure that we're allocating costs associated with what we're seeing. And so I can't really speak for the 12.5 because I didn't, you know, we did not do that estimate. We're just trying to forecast the best that we can for you right now. So,
Mr. Jennings? But in a nutshell, you're saying that the longer we wait, the more it's going to cost us.
Yes, yeah, I would agree with that. So, unless all of a sudden we dive into another great recession, which nobody wants. So, but yeah, construction costs is certainly on the rise. So,
construction was very slow. We all probably know this for the last 5-6 years at least. And thank God it's finally coming back. But
it
what
is.
That does mean is you pay a premium for your construction costs. There's a lot of work going on in construction.
Feast or famine.
Yeah. And, you know, some people would say that you're paying a premium. Some people on the other side of the fence would say it's just coming back, you know. I mean,
that's true.
You know, I mean, so, but anyways, you know, we are trying to forecast what we're seeing in the market. As steel prices go up, that causes a lot of ramifications. You know, copper prices will start to go up. And with a jail facility, there's a lot of steel in there. So,
I know I'm probably beating a dead horse, but it's in our selfish best interest to try to build this as soon as possible.
It is, and you know the other thing is I would have loved to have done a, like I said before, an energy analysis on this to see how much the city would save, you know, in terms of from an operational use perspective on an annual basis.
But going forward, it's a lot easier to do that now in a new building.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So.
Okay, Brandon, I think there's one more slide there. So I think everybody understands the recommendation of our team was to contain, you know, based on the findings contained within our review and analysis, it's recommended to proceed with developing a new police courts facility on a remote site rather than renovate the existing building. I think that's hopefully clear.
So you made a recommendation in your executive summary that we put together a master plan for our historic buildings. And I wonder what prompted you to do that, because I don't think that was in the scope of
It really wasn't in our scope, but, when we met Alderman, you all are very passionate about maintaining that existing building. And as an architect, I'm passionate about maintaining existing buildings when we can, when it's cost-effective, and to try to retain, our heritage. And I felt like maybe a study of the potential uses for the building might benefit the city in terms of what could we use those buildings for. I mean, the library building, perhaps, it's sitting there. It's got really nice grand open spaces for a ballroom or wedding receptions or meetings and stuff. And I just thought,
maybe
a master plan study might really help you all find a use for those buildings so that they don't sit there and decay.
Yes.
That's where I was coming from there. But you're right, it wasn't in our scope of work. It was just something that we felt that we should recommend.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Hearing none, thank you very much for coming and speaking with us and answering our questions.
Thank you all. We appreciate being in service. Thank you.